Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast on the 12th of March, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank, joined today by CJ Miller and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more and stop by your local branch. CJ on the news today, including a status update on a bill limiting the purchase of Indiana farmland and staying organized with your land ownership responsibilities. Ryan Martin's forecast today, beautiful weather on tap, and mixed in the ag markets yesterday. We'll get analysis from John Zanker coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, we know that when agriculture thrives, we all do. It's the heart and grit of our agricultural communities that keep the crops coming in and the livestock cared for day and night. That's why we build financial solutions around the needs and schedules of our ag clients. If you're looking for a financial partner that has over 135 years experience in understanding and supporting agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's harvest success together. First Farmers Bank and Trust, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender.
Do you have an interest in taking your hay or livestock operation to the next level but need some help doing it? Then head out to the Hay and Livestock Expo hosted by Reynolds Farm Equipment, March 15th from 8 to 3 at the Boone County Fairgrounds. Join them for free lunch and hear from speakers, visit over 15 vendor booths, win door prizes, and more. Pre-register for a chance to win a roll of net wrap and hay knife. To register or for more information, visit events.reynoldsfarmequipment.com/hay-livestock-expo-24.
A bill preventing China and Russia from owning Indiana farmland now goes to the governor's desk. And a new Indiana-based computer platform to help keep farmland owners organized. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, last Friday, your state lawmakers wrapped up the Indiana General Assembly for 2024. And one of the bills that received final approval and now heads to the governor's desk for his approval is one that impacts the renting or selling of Indiana's farmland.
So it said if you were one of the adversarial countries as identified by the U.S. government, the Department of Commerce, and right now that's Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, Venezuela, and Cuba, then you would not be permitted to buy farmland in Indiana.
And that state representative Kendall Culp, who spoke during the Shelby County Ag Promotion Banquet last week in Shelbyville. Culp introduced House Bill 1183, which passed in the House unanimously. But when his bill made it to the Senate Ag Committee, they added some additional ownership restrictions to his bill.
It's going to put a 10-mile circle around every military installation in Indiana, including armories and then the bases that you're more aware of. And so they put that ring around there, and that was a little different. That those adversaries, and there's just the four main ones, Cuban, Venezuela's not on that list, they could not buy any real estate within that 10-mile radius. Buildings, property, not just farmland, homes, anything.
And even though the bill also received unanimous support from state senators, Culp says he has received pushback from members of the Indiana Economic Development Commission.
Senator Lysine and I met with representatives from the Indiana Economic Development Organization, and they told us then there were nine companies that fit the definition of foreign adversary that they currently are working with to locate in Indiana. Senator Lysine said, how many of those are Chinese? All nine of them. Now that's concerning. And that should be concerning to all of you.
Culp adds that the bill goes beyond food security. It's a matter of national security.
We had a gentleman came, Brian Kavanaugh, flew in from Washington, D.C. to testify in Senator Lysine's Ag Committee. He was on the National Security Council on the Trump administration. And he says there's every reason to be concerned about why these foreign entities are wanting to come in here. This is communist China. And maybe they want to do good things, but you don't know who the money is behind them. And so if it's the Chinese government, that should be concerning to us.
If Governor Holcomb signs the bill into law, it would take effect beginning July 1st. Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. Well, if you lease land for your farming operation, you know that managing those landowner relationships can be time-consuming. And that's why there's a new Indiana-based company that's created a lease and land management platform that helps you stay organized.
We are a software platform that helps you consolidate all information as it relates to landowners.
And that's Soshi Raghunandan, the founder and CEO of Oaken.ag. And they can help landowners save time, reduce hassle, and strengthen their connections with their leasing partners.
When we spoke to farms today, the way they managed those landowner relationships was complex. It was time-consuming. It was being managed in manual folders. It was being managed on Google spreadsheets. And in the worst-case situation, it was being managed in someone's head. Not only was it time-consuming, when it came time to pass that information on to the next generation that was taking on the farming operation, it became problematic and cumbersome to kind of pass that information on. There was no single way or a place where it all got consolidated.
Raghunandan says that Oaken.ag is a cloud-based program that you can use from any computer with a username and password. He adds that the company will work with you to make sure that you're all set up and getting the most out of the program.
You can just log in and you don't need to download any software. Once you get in touch with us, we will set you up on the platform. You get a login ID and password. It's really easy to get set up on the platform. And then once you're set up, all the information resides in a single place. You're organized. You can keep updating data on it. We help you for 2 months, hand-holding you through the process. We really want you to enjoy using the platform. That's our focus right now. So as you kind of come on board, we make everything possible to make sure you enjoy that experience.
Oaken.ag is a brand new ag business startup that was established with funding from Purdue Dial Ventures.
I would never have been able to get this started without Purdue. That connection is dear to me and grateful to Purdue Dial. So the two ways that they support companies that are coming out of the program: number one, of course, they provide the funding, and that's really critical for any startup to get sorted and to launch themselves and to have a good shot at being able to solve a real challenge in the industry. But also, as you come up with ideas, they help you validate that with the industry and help set you up with the first set of customers who are going to use your platform. So we've been grateful for all that Purdue has brought to us.
Once again, the new company and its website is Oaken.ag. You can also find the link and read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America believes that your crop insurance should be maximized to address what's important to you. With their data-optimized decision tool, you can build a policy custom-fit to your operations goals. Using your past production data, their tool, which they have exclusive access to in their territory, maps out future events, helping you choose the perfect policy type, coverage level, and options for you, all guided by their crop insurance agents. To learn more, visit fcma.com/crop-insurance. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity provider.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Beautiful weather continues for today, and we'll squeeze out a mostly nice day tomorrow. Let's talk about today. First of all, sunshine, blue sky, temperatures well above normal, similar to what we saw yesterday. Temperatures like April and into May rather than March. Mother Nature is not going to let us live that down here later this week. So enjoy the balance of today. I think overnight tonight into tomorrow, we have to watch for a minor disturbance that's popping up over parts of Missouri and into Illinois. I think it's falling apart by the time it gets here, but a few more clouds around tomorrow, especially central and southern parts of Indiana, and I won't rule out a few hit and miss showers. Minor coverage at this point. I'm dialing it back even from what we saw 24 hours ago. In any case, this is a precursor to a major weather system that comes through to finish the week. From Thursday midday and afternoon right on through Friday and into early Saturday, we see rounds of precipitation. At this point, it's warm enough for it to all be rain, but I'm looking for a half to maybe 2 inches in spots. The 2-inch totals will come if and when we can see thunderstorms come together to help buoy it. But still, moisture for everyone, 100% coverage. And then we see the weekend turn sharply colder. Temperatures starting to pull back Friday night into Saturday morning, but we really see our big surge of cold air from Saturday night through Sunday, well below normal temperatures for Sunday afternoon, for Monday, and for Tuesday. We can even see a little bit of a light snow activity trying to move through here next Monday afternoon, Monday evening, and Tuesday, coming off the Great Lakes. Yes, it is a cold Canadian surge of air. It parks here through Tuesday afternoon. Then we start to see temperatures moderate the second part of next week, Thursday, Friday in particular, but it's going to be a slow time in coming. What I can point you to, though, is the fact that most of the entire western U.S. is under some warm air surge, so I think that's going to expand eastward. We just have some fairly significant swings in the jet stream to have to work through first before that warm air can take over once again. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? Trust, for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
Corn and wheat up and a sell-off in soybean futures to open up a new week. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review. All those numbers coming up. We begin, though, with market analysis. I checked in near the end of trade with John Zanker for that. John with Risk Management Commodities. John, a mixed day with some strength in the wheat market, but it was a struggle for corn and beans to follow up on that nice Friday rally. Short covering rally after the USDA update. So have these markets kind of shaken off whatever USDA had to say by now?
Well, I do like how corn bounced back off its lows. When I got up at 5 this morning and looked at the screen and corn was down 4, it was not really what I was expecting or wanting, of course. And but we did a nice bounce off the low on Friday as well. So we've seen some resilience and we're going to close higher today. So I like corn. I've been trying to get friendly corn for a while, which hasn't been easy. There's just a huge amount of corn left to sell, and that's just hanging above the market. It's going to be hanging over the market until we get into the summer. So, but I do look for some a big acreage cut here on March 28th. So I think the funds are a little bit leery of their huge short position going into that report. So I think we have a little bit more to the upside here on corn, at least. Soybeans really didn't get much help from the USDA as far as the supply and demand on Friday, but there were some adjustments to Chinese demand over the last 2 or 3 years. And you wouldn't have thought that would have had much impact on the market, but it was a reminder that maybe this Chinese demand is going to be bigger or better than we thought it was going to be, and which could add some support in the future. So huge day on Friday, a little bit of a setback today, but I think I kind of like how this week got started, Andy.
Thoughts on Chicago wheat, which gained roughly a dime, stronger all day.
Yeah, when was the last time I said anything positive about wheat on your show? I don't remember. It's been a long time. There's nothing really going on good for wheat. USDA did not help us on Friday. We hit new lows, and those lows are, let's see, what did I come up with? 40-month lows? Or yes, 40-month lows. So we're just into we're into some numbers I never thought that we'd ever see if we still had a war going on in Ukraine. And this drop in wheat's been one of the more amazing things I've seen in commodities over the last almost 43 years. So if we don't have any trouble with these spring crops here, these winter crops, and then we don't have trouble getting the spring crop planted, Andy, I think we're going to put a 4 in front of the nearby futures. And again, one of those things you just wouldn't have thought could happen with the war going on between two of the world's biggest exporters.
Also on Monday, the export inspections out in the range of expectations for soybeans and wheat, and at the higher end of expectations for corn. Did that report have any influence on market activity?
I think it helped corn, 44.2 And that's a pretty good number for this time of the year. I'd like to see that get up over 50 in the coming weeks and put a good cushion under things in case Brazil ends up with another good second crop corn. And so far, that's looking pretty good. So that could start to hurt us by the middle of summer. So I'd like to get some cushion under this with some good weeks here. Beans at 26 million, 23-week low, but, you know, not abnormally low for this time frame. Over the last 5 years, we've seen those numbers drop off pretty rapidly down into the 10 to 15 million category from the end of March forward. So, again, not a terrible number, but unfortunately, I don't see anything that's going to keep us from sliding into that 10 to 15 million range here in the weeks and months to come.
John Zanker, Risk Management Commodities. His number is 866-837-9027. Call him if you would like to talk things over. Settlements now for Monday trade. May corn, 441 and three quarters, a gain of 2 cents. Also July, a gain of 2, going to 453 and three quarters. Dece, 472 and three quarters, up 3 quarters. Beans down about a nickel. May, 1179 and a quarter, 4 3/4 lower. July down 3 3/4, 1191 and three quarters. And May wheat, 547 and a quarter, gaining 9.5 cents. The meat markets mixed. April live cattle even, steady on the day at 187.60, and April lean hogs 83.27, down $1.10. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.